Back again on the Mike Moore Show for July of 2016 on Dakota Country 1210.
KOKK.
Performance Radio News Director Zach Nelson, along with Beadle County State's Attorney Mike Moore, and Courtney's decided to step away from the microphone.
She's here, but yeah, she's backed off.
She's trying to hide behind the camera, which, again, if you are, this won't make sense if you're listening to us here on a Saturday morning. If you happen to have been watching on Thursday afternoon on the Performance Radio News page on Facebook, we're actually live streaming the recording of the program. So we're live, but we're not. So for those of you who are on Facebook right now, which is a whole whopping 13 people, we were up to like 23 for a while.
Oh,
but then they realized how exciting the law was. And like, you know, I got work and things to do. You've got a question for Mike about, well, probably just about anything.
We'll answer any question.
We would prefer to keep it to legal-minded type stuff. But if you have I was worried you were going to get to Star Wars. Questions about anything, go ahead and type them into the, we're down to 11, by the way. Type them into the comment bar down on the bottom, and we will try to answer your question on the program this month. Mike, on Wednesday of this past week, and again, I thank you very much for really what is kind of exclusive access to the search for Rachel Syriacs. You permitted me to come out. There was a search conducted in southwest Beadle County. Somebody in the story had commented, well, where is it? Well, I chose not to give a specific location because I appreciated you allowing me to come out there. To not give a specific location for the integrity of the investigation, it was in a location in southwestern Beadle County. Mike, just talk a little bit, for those that maybe didn't catch the story on Thursday of this past week, what transpired in that part of the county?
Right, and the important thing is that this is an ongoing investigation, and we are still actively involved in this investigation. We're following leads. You know, I would say from a standpoint of my office, there's not a week that goes by that I probably don't have some interaction with this case in some manner or another. So the public should know that. Rachel's family knows that. We keep them informed on what we're going. And they were informed that we were going to do this search. So I do appreciate you coming out and just letting everybody know that that this is still something that we're actively pursuing and involved in. But we had gotten information from various different sources. We were able to corroborate some of that information, and we learned that there was an open ditch that was being excavated about the time that she went missing. There were some indications that that was a possible place where she may be. So we then conducted a search. I mean, and it's a ditch that has been filled in now, but we were able to get some individuals from Lincoln, Nebraska to come up that have ground penetrating radar. They can look down about 12 to 15 feet into the ground, and they look for anomalies. And they've used, it's kind of an interesting equipment because they've used this at Civil War battlefields, Indian burial grounds, things like that. They've used this device. So we were able to get them to come up here and use this device, and it kind of like when you out there, I think you had some pictures, but it kind of looked like a little bit of a lawnmower,
right?
And they just kind of pushed it across the ground, and it took readings of what was below the ground, and they're basically analyzing the data now. There wasn't anything that we found that really gave us any big hope, but they are going to analyze that data and get back to us soon, so we'll have some information about that location, and that is the reason that we don't want to disclose the location, because it's still a possibility, and it takes a while for this investigation to go through, and we know what we're looking at, what we're dealing with.
Do you have any idea on when the data analyzed from the radar will be available for investigators to comb over and look at it, make a decision as to whether or not, you know, we need to abandon this area because we don't think there's anything here, or, you know, maybe it's time to grab some shovels and backhoes and see what's under the earth.
Right, and that actually should have happened fairly quickly. It was going to happen like we did the search on Wednesday. We were supposed to review the stuff on Thursday, but they had technical issues with their computers, that they had brought with them from Lincoln. So they had to take the data that they collected at the site back to Lincoln. They're going to analyze it back there. So it should be available to us shortly. I'd say, you know, early next week. And we'll know then if there's anything that we need to do and if we have to go back out there and excavate the site.
I want to bring Courtney back in. I know she doesn't want to talk anymore, but come up and grab the microphone. Now, you were out there too, and I guess just give me your impressions of, I mean, obviously this case has been in the news for the better part of the last, you know, 3 years, mm-hmm. and it looked like somebody running one of those bubble lawnmowers over just some dirt. But, I mean, just your thoughts about really, you know, what this all actually was representing as you get ready to, you know, move on and become a lawyer. I mean, to be able to come out and I guess you weren't actively a part of it, you were just observing it, but I mean, just your thoughts on watching the operation.
I found it very interesting. I walked with the lady as she was pushing the radar, and I actually got to see, like, she would show, like, there's a rock towards the top of the surface. And that's interesting to me because then I know maybe in the future when they say, here's a piece of evidence, it's radar penetrating and here's the information they found, I've actually been able to see how this works or what they do and have experienced it rather than just hoping I know what they're talking about.
Sure, sure. That's all I had. You can sit down now if you want. Mike, you did the same thing that Courtney did, walked with the scanners as they were running the radar over the patch of earth they were looking at. You know, as you were watching, there appeared to be a screen on that thing. You know, what did that look like as you were going over, right, and, you know, maybe finding, like Courtney said, yeah, rocks?
I'll give you the lawyer's version of what it looked like. It was black and white, that's what it was. And what actually happened is as you walked forward, the screen moved from left to right. But actually what was happening was all that was meaning is that it was looking at down straight below the machine about 2.5-3 feet wide, down about 15 feet, and it was just showing you the depth of that straight below. So as you walk forward, it was just kind of recording that as it would if you were pulling out a string. It was just recording it in that linear fashion of what was down there below. And the screen was black and white, and it showed you anomalies in the soil that's what they're looking for. And as they pointed out to me that, you know, they saw some things that were anomalies that they want to go back and check, but nothing that really gave them any great deal of hope or anything. But they said that they've gone back and checked, and when they done battlefields, when they did the machine, they thought they didn't see anything. When they went back with the computer, there was something there. So it was just a very interesting process of, and I think from a lawyer standpoint, like Courtney pointed out, is at some point, if this case goes to trial, me as the prosecutor, I'm going to have to present the case. And it's a lot better for me to understand and observe these things happen because I'm going to have to explain it to a jury. I'm going to have to, you know, and I have a lot better ability to do that if I observe it firsthand than if I'm just reading it on a report.
You've got 20 plus years as a prosecutor. Have you ever been involved in something that used a ground penetrating radar like this before?
No, this was the first time I've used that equipment or ever seen that equipment. We had done some talking about it before. We knew it was available. And based on the information we had in this site, we thought it was worth at least checking this site.
To me, it's surprising that you said this crew came from Nebraska.
Right.
That the state's investigators don't have this technology?
No, yeah, our state doesn't have it. The equipment is actually fairly expensive. And it's something that now that they've used it, they actually had conversations of whether this is something that DCI or our state should investigate in. But it was very... these people that did it are retired. He was an archaeologist that does this on the side. He used to be a professor. So, you know, they were very inexpensive to do that. So it's better for us. Plus, they're experts on how to run it. So it's better for us to have those experts come up and do this than to try to have someone in our in law enforcement and train them. That would be a huge investment on our part. And we have these people right down the, I mean, they're pretty close in Lincoln and can come up and do it.
Real quick, before we take the break, who made the contact? Did they approach investigators that, hey, we'd like to come up and see if you can help? Or did somebody know somebody and said, you know, hey, we'd like you to come up and use your equipment to search this area?
You know, and the reality of how that happens is a lot of people criticize law enforcement or prosecutors for being trained or, you know, I attend trainings. But this is what happens. And actually how this came up in this case is our DCI agent was at a training talking to other law enforcement agents, and they said, hey, we've used this equipment before. You should try this. And so that's how it came to our attention by being at a training. It became aware of this. They gave us the contact information. We reached out to these individuals. We told them what we had. They thought they could help. And that's kind of how it all came together. But that's why it's important to have law enforcement officers train and go out and meet their peers, because everybody has a great idea, and that's the thing, is that these individuals have actually worked other criminal cases for other law enforcement agencies across the country. So we got that benefit by being at a training and learning about them.
You're listening to the Mike Moore Show on Dakota Country 1210.
KOKK.
We're back with more after this.